Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, welcome everyone, welcome. You know, I was following a car the other day and it had a bumper sticker on that made me laugh out loud. Not so funny in some ways, but I'll share it with you and see what you think. The bumper sticker said, "The reason they call it the American Dream is because you have to be asleep to believe it." And it did make me chuckle. Some people might agree with that, but others would say anything is possible. And my first two guests are here today to share how they've built and are living their own American dream. You probably know who they are. They've been on TV quite a few times. It's a great story, and I'll introduce them in just a moment. We're going to end today's show with the B word. Brilliant, brave, bright, brainy, bold, bodacious, breathtaking. And yes, that other B word. Dr. Kay Green's new book is known as the B word rulebook for our new entrepreneurial times. She specializes in marketing and branding and talked with a lot of women about what it takes to make it in the workforce today, whether you work for somebody else or whether you work for yourself. But first, I'm pleased to welcome PJ and Jim Jonas. They're no strangers to the media. They've been featured on numerous TV shows as a family who turned a hobby into a thriving business. The more I learned about them, the more interested I became in their story. I just fell in love with the story, fell in love with the family. They're the founders of Goat Milk Stuff, and I'm going to bring them on to share in their own words how they've been working toward living their own American dream. PJ and Jim Jonas, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us, Vicki.
How are you doing?
Very pleased to have you here. Just such a fascinating story. I know this is your life, so it probably doesn't feel like, you know, such a fascinating story for yourselves. But let's just go back a little bit to when all of this started for you. And I'm guessing, PJ, I read that you bought two goats so that your children could have raw, healthy milk. So I'm guessing you've always had a somewhat focused perspective around environmental issues and holistic living.
I have. You know, I kind of think it's my job as a mom to take care of the children, and that involves keeping them healthy and teaching them how to live a healthy lifestyle. So when we moved to Indiana, one of the things that I wanted was a source of healthy raw milk, because unfortunately the government doesn't make it easy to get. So I decided to get our own dairy goats, and we started milking them just for milk to drink.
And so you started with just two goats. You home-raised your kids. You've got eight children. What made you decide to homeschool your kids?
We decided that kind of early on, even when I was a public school teacher, we decided that I was going to be homeschooling them. So,
one of the main reasons that we choose to do it is because we really believe that every child deserves to have their education tailored to their specific needs and their specific strengths and creativity. And homeschooling really allows us to do that. It allows us to take each child and say, okay, this is your strengths, these are your weaknesses. We're going to really develop your strengths, and we're going to help you to overcome your weaknesses. And that's something that we put a lot of effort into.
Okay. And so I have to just go back to Jim here and ask him, if you're a public school teacher and you wanted to homeschool your kids, what does that say about our system?
Well, you know, we get that a lot, of course. But, I found that it was about what was best for my children. There are a lot of people out there that want to keep their kids in the public school, and that may be best for them. But in terms of our children, we definitely knew that homeschooling was best for us.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest, this is how I kind of perceive the American dream, is doing what's best for you, having the choice to do what you want to do, what you think is best for your family.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
it's not a one size fits all dream.
So, how did you two guys meet?
We actually met in college. We both went to the University of Virginia, and Jim was a year ahead of me, but he was on the five-year plan where he got his bachelor's and master's at the same time, so we actually graduated together even though he was a year ahead, and we actually met my first weekend there at college.
Oh, interesting. And so, and how long have you guys been together then?
Pretty much since that first weekend of college, so that was 1990.
Yeah, 22 years or so. I think we're coming up on, yeah.
And did you always want a large family?
Well, I did. I always wanted a big family. I never really put a number on it, although I always said that I wanted an even number of children because I wanted them to be able to pair up and not have an odd person out. But Jim just really let us have kids one kid at a time.
Yeah, she said, yeah, I want a big family. Well, okay, we'll just go one at a time and
see what happens.
See how it goes. And your kids range, I think, in age from like 5 through 15. Is that right?
Yep, my oldest just turned 16, so they were eight kids in 10 years. And I really wanted them close together because I wanted them to be the best of friends and to grow up together and not have a huge separation in age.
Right. And I saw the video of your two youngest, Jade and Indigo. And I think it was Jade who said, I just love my sister because she's my best friend, and you could tell she just really meant it. It was lovely.
Yeah. I mean, they're typical siblings. They can beat up on each other,
sure.
But nobody else is allowed to beat up or do anything mean to each other.
Right. So in 2005, I read that you bought these two goats. You wanted to, as we just discussed, feed your kids healthy raw milk. And there are health benefits to that, you believe. So what led then into making soap? Because that's what goat milk stuff really is all about. It spins off from there.
Yep. I actually had all the children in the bathtub one day. It was quite a lot of them in there. And while they were sitting just playing, I picked up the baby wash that I had always used. And for the first time ever, I actually read the ingredients on the back. And I was pretty appalled when I realized that it was all chemicals and petroleum-based chemicals, and I decided right then and there that I was going to make my own soap. So I started doing my research, and when you make soap, it needs to use a liquid, and most soap is just made with water, but since I had the goat milk and I knew how good the goat milk was for you to drink, and you know, you hear all those stories about Cleopatra bathing in her milk bath
right.
and how good it is for your skin,
right,
so I decided that I was going to use the milk instead of the water.
Right. I actually remember when I was a kid trying to fill the bathtub up with milk once, because I until my mother realized, what's happening with all the milk bottles?
Yeah, that took quite a lot of milk to fill up the bath.
So you really just, Jim is still teaching, you're correct, and PJ, you're just making kids for your soap for your kids at this point. But you notice that Jim worked outdoors a lot, he'd got cracked hands, and it was starting to help his skin condition.
Yeah, when I, like I said, you know, I initially just made it just for the kids because I didn't want all those chemicals on their skin. And when I put it in the shower, his fingers stopped cracking and splitting. And that's when I knew that I had a really good bar of soap. But it wasn't until a couple years later when the baby was a little bit older that we started selling it. And that's when we started getting all the feedback from people with eczema and psoriasis and just really dry skin and cracking fingertips like my husband had, that it was really helping all of those skin issues as well.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the next leg of the journey, because it is definitely a journey, and I've watched it for a couple of years, so it's really interesting to finally talk to both of you. My guests are Jim and PJ Jonas. They are the co-founders of Goat Milk Stuff, and you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. We will be right back.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of...
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425 787-2500, pause.org, or 425-787-2500.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. There's two kinds of people in this world. Those who walk into a room and say, "Well, here I am." And those who walk into a room and say, "Ah, there you are." Leah Lowndes has devoted her life to helping people become better communicators in business, social, and romantic relationships. Join us next Monday at noon Pacific, right here on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for details and more than 200 archive podcasts.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Real people, real life, real radio. Really. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. In my intro, I was going to introduce somebody that we were planning to bring on today. We're going to talk about Mondays and why people don't make deals or even book dates on Mondays. There are some interesting reasons behind that. But I wanted more time to spend with the guests that I had already booked today. So we're going to bring that segment to you at a later date. In this segment, I'm talking with PJ and Jim Jonas of Goat Milk Stuff. They're the co-founders. They're, you know, essentially living their own American dream. And we were talking before the break about how this got started. So I want to just ask, at what point did you decide we're going to turn this into a business? Was it a gradual progression and suddenly you're like, okay, Jim's got to quit his job, we can't keep up? Or did you make a definitive decision there?
Well, in 2008, we had a budget shortfall and I had gotten some extra soap supplies to make soap for us. And I thought, oh, well, I have all these extra soap ingredients. I'll just make some extra soap and sell it. And so I did that and the demand for it went crazy. We just had word of mouth. People started telling everybody about it, and I started getting all these requests. So we started making more and more, and the children and I were pretty much doing it ourselves. We would do it in the kitchen, and it got to the point where we were having picnics on the floor in the kitchen because every other countertop was covered in soap, and the table was covered in soap. And it got to the point where I said to Jim, I was like, okay, you know, we can't do this anymore. You either need to come on full time, or we need to scale the business back. So we sat down and had a big family meeting, and everybody voted that we were going to put in the extra effort and the hard work and do what it took to bring Jim on full time, and it's just been constant growth since then.
Right. So let me ask you, Jim, then. You're out going out to a job every day. You can close the door on the family problems for a few hours when you go out to a job. I mean, I think a lot of people would say it's actually easier to go out to a job. So how did you feel about that? Was it something you really jumped at, or did it take a lot of consideration for you?
Well, it was a major adjustment, Vicki. It really, there is a lot of truth in what you say about being able to just kind of how easy it is to just go off to work. But it was great opportunity for me to come home and spend time with the children and to actually work side by side with my wife. And it really has just been fantastic. It definitely took some getting used to. The first year was probably, there's a lot of just new situations, you know.
Sure.
And she just would say to me, you know, this is okay. This is normal. This happens during the day. I think, you know, like, well, why are we all, you know, what's this about? You know, the kids are all going crazy and whatever. Like, no, this is what happens. Oh, okay. And so I just go off and do my own thing. But it's been fantastic.
I loved in one of the videos you have on your website, videos of each of your eight children just doing their own thing and talking. And one of them says, well, it was one of the little girls said that she liked it because it brings Dad home. We get to see him all the time now.
Yeah, she definitely probably appreciates it the most because she remembers the least of when I was not around.
Sure.
You know, the other kids, you know, when you've got Dad home all the time, you can't get away with as much.
Right. Right. So let's talk about how you make this soap. You have a soap room. It's quite an enterprise now. I think you have like 30-some goats right now.
Yeah, we're having 22 that are pregnant. They're due to have their kids in the end of February, beginning of March. We'll probably have about 50 baby goats born this year, which is the most fun time of the year. But we, when we first started, like I said, we were doing it in the kitchen, and then we built an addition on our barn and worked out of there for a few years. And then this past year, we knew that we were going to outgrow that. So we purchased 36 acres, and we built a brand new soap room, which is our, you know, everything designed exactly the way we wanted it now that we knew how the business ran.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working out of that. We just built the new barn, is under construction right now. So everything is really advancing.
Well, congratulations on getting that new farm, because I'm sure you absolutely need it now.
Yeah, we're already discovering how quickly we can fill up the new facility.
Yes, I bet. So let's talk about what actually goes into making your soap, without giving away your secret ingredients, of course. But, I mean, you try and keep this as natural as possible. You do use some fragrance. You use a lot of essential oils.
Yep, you're exactly right. My son, Coulter, who's my oldest son at 14, he helps me make the soap. He's my production assistant. And so he does a lot of the measuring of the oils. And I handle all the lye, of course, because when you make soap, you need to have an alkaline component, and lye is a great one for that. Makes a good natural soap that way. And we use natural colors and add the fragrance or the essential oils for many of the soaps. Some of them we leave unscented for folks that have extremely sensitive skin or are dealing with eczema or psoriasis or rosacea or any other, you know, real dry skin issues. Have sensitivities to fragrance, things like that.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have issues with fragrance. I have a lovely package of soaps from you, which I've started using, and my favorite is the Nantucket, if I can just share that with you. It smells like you're out there in Nantucket. It is wonderful. But, you know, I'm very sensitive to fragrances, and there's just one in there that I can tell would probably annoy me a little, my skin. So I gave that to a friend. So it's great that you have the option and the range there. And
we really try and have something for everybody. We've got just several different choices of unscented, and the tea tree is really popular. That's a naturally antibacterial, antifungal, and it smells really fresh and clean. So that one's very popular as well.
Right. And then besides the soaps, you do lip balm. One of your children was very proud that that's her job, to do the lip balm.
Yeah, we really, you know, we started with the bar soap, and then we just expanded as we found our own needs. And we've got a very active Facebook page, and people would ask us to make stuff. So we've got the lip balms. We have solid lotions. One of our most popular products is the laundry soap, because it's just unscented natural laundry soap that rinses clean and doesn't leave any chemicals stuck to your clothes to irritate your skin. And we just branched out into candles, so we now have candles so people can match their favorite scents and have those as well.
Oh, lovely. And, you know, one thing I love about your soap is that it lathers, because I've had natural soap before that just doesn't lather, and there's something about that lather that, you know, I feel is good. I like it.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, if it doesn't lather, they don't think they're actually getting clean.
Right,
so.
right.
And so one of the other features of our soap that you'll probably really appreciate later on down the line is how well they last. There are a lot of natural soaps out there that use a blend of oils that really just dissolve very, very quickly and can turn a lot of people off to natural handmade soaps.
Right.
But with a large family, if we don't build things like a battleship, they don't last at all.
Yeah, there you go.
one of our hallmarks is building a bar that it does, in fact, last a good long time.
Right.
Yeah, this is actually the formula I designed for our own family. And when we started selling it, we didn't change anything. So I wanted a bar that was going to last a long time, lather really well, and be very moisturizing on your skin.
Yeah, yeah, lovely. And so let's talk about the kids a little, because all of your kids work in the business. They have age-appropriate roles within the business. You pay them salaries so they get to understand the value of a buck, which I think is terrific. Talk to us a little bit about how you divvy that up.
Well, I've got a rule that I started many, many years ago. I call it my youngest person rule. And what that means is the youngest person capable of doing a job in the family is the one who does it. So everybody has a job, and as the kids grow and mature, the jobs tend to get passed down to the younger, you know, to the younger person. So we're constantly able to do more and more and new things and get more efficient. My daughter, who's the oldest, she does a lot of the customer service. She answers phones and emails and helps to ship out the orders and things like that. When we do our orders, everybody, all of the invoices that come in, they get signed. One of the children takes a colored pen and just signs their name and says, you know, enjoy the soap or something like that. So that gets really popular. And then a lot of the soap making gets split up amongst the middle children. Like the Fletcher is the one who's responsible for unmolding the soap, and Graydon has to cut the soap. I think Jim mentioned that Coulter's the production assistant. And then the little girls, my six-year-old Indigo, she's actually in charge of our retail room. Our new soap room has a retail area, and she's the shopkeeper in there. And she processes the orders. People give her their credit cards, and she takes care of them through the credit card machine and gives change at the cash register. And everybody thinks that's just the greatest thing ever.
And is your new farm situated close to where you were before? What, you know, the location?
It's about 20 minutes away.
Okay, and it's Indiana, is it?
It is Southern Indiana.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So if we come visit, I'll be out there.
Oh yeah. Springtime when the baby goats are here is the most fun time to come visit.
Well, I think it's you know, you put videos, as I said, up there of your kids, and I've seen this a lot with people putting videos up on. But your kids just look so natural, and one of the things that I really liked. I think it was, I'm not quite sure who it was who said this, but he said, it's helping me prepare for my future. It's teaching me that there's work to be done and then I can have my free time. And another of the boys said that it helps me learn how to talk to people and be around people and communicate with them, which I thought was fabulous. They're really getting a great education.
Yeah, I mean, we started Goat Milk Stuff and we really wanted it to be something for the family, something that brought the family together, gave us the closeness that we really wanted, and taught the children how to become adults who were capable of taking on the world, whether they wanted to continue in this business, start their own business, that they were going to have the confidence that they could do whatever they needed to do and they could get it done and that they could succeed at it.
Right. Question that I ask everyone who works together as a couple, you know, how do you keep things fresh as a couple between you when you work together? You know, I grew up in family businesses. You know, I saw my mom and dad work together. My grandparents work together. How do you keep things fresh between you? No answer.
Who says we keep it fresh? You know, we've always had a great relationship. And the nice thing is, we're very well complementary in that PJ has some tremendous ideas on just how to grow the business and really just directional type things. And I've always been kind of the guy that then has to figure out how to get it done. And it's a great dynamic in our relationship. And since she never runs out of ideas, I never run out of things to do. So that element of it, you know, it's always fresh. You know, and we do take some time together, whether it's away at a conference or on a family vacation. We do take some time away from the business to
right.
really kind of recharge our batteries.
Right.
That's always very helpful.
Yeah. Well, I think that complementary, you know, skill set is really critical as well. You know, because otherwise, you know, I've seen couples who literally are fighting for the power thing, but you've got to have that complementary skill set there. Final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
You know, I heard your bumper sticker story at the beginning, and I just want to encourage everybody that if you have a dream and a passion, you know, I prayed for years for a family business before I ever started Goat Milk Stuff. You know, find something that you love and just because it is possible to live the American dream and to succeed and have a business that supports your family. I mean, I was told by multiple people that I could never support a family of 10 making soap. And, you know, if I had listened to that and believed that, I wouldn't have tried. But I just took that and said, oh yeah, well, watch me.
You know? And I think that's the key thing. You have to listen to yourself and, you know, and move forward on that. It's a great story. It really is a great story. Do you see why people are so fascinated with it?
Yeah, it's certainly nothing that I ever planned for either. You know, it's not that soap was the farthest thing from my mind.
Right.
Up until about 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, you may surprise yourself if you have a dream. You may surprise yourself as where that dream may lead you.
Yeah. Well, I thank you both for taking time out of your very busy day today. And I want to let listeners know they can find out more about you at goatmilkstuff.com. And as PJ said, you have a very active Facebook page. You're also on Twitter. And you also blog and podcast up there for busy moms, right, PJ?
I do. I have a podcast I do called The Busy Mom Survival Guide. You can find it on iTunes or if you go to the website at goatmilkstuff.com. It's in the left sidebar.
Great. Thank you both.
Dad would probably appreciate it, too, because I'm on there occasionally.
Oh, there you go. Well, I saw you were fixing the soundproofing in the podcast room.
Yeah, we did. It's great.
Thank you both so much for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having us.
Okay. My guests there, PJ and Jim Jonas, and you can find out a lot more about them and their great family at goatmilkstuff.com. And I really like my soap, so that's all I can tell you. Please do stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. We will be right back.
I gotta follow that dream to find the love I need. When your heart gets restless, time to move along. When your heart gets weary, time to sing a song. But when a dream is calling you, there's just one thing that you can do. Well, you gotta follow that dream wherever that dream may lead.
Enjoy your food, but eat less. A simple way to eat less is to be mindful of what you're eating. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Eat slowly and enjoy the taste and texture of your food. Use hunger and fullness as cues to recognize when you've had enough. Healthy meals start with fruits, vegetables, and smaller portions of proteins and grains. And don't forget to choose low-fat or fat-free dairy. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Visit eatright.org for more healthy tips.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Lisa, it's Janet.
What's wrong?
It's the bridesmaid's dresses for Lindsay's wedding.
Oh, no. Tell me they're not fuchsia.
They're not fuchsia.
They're chiffon? I specifically said no chiffon. I mean,
they're not chiffon.
Then what?
They're made out of old yellow pages.
Excuse me?
Uh-huh. Something about recycling and good karma on her wedding day.
Great. I'm not going to know whether a guy's checking me out or just looking for the number of a good mechanic.
Very funny.
There's a better way to recycle your outdated Dex phone books. Call 1-877-2-GET-DEX or log on to DexKnows.com to find out how.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk 1150.
Gotta find me someone whose heart is free. Someone to look for my dream.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And if you're listening on the radio, just a reminder that you can also listen to us online. I'm going to ask Eric what the URL is for that because I always forget.
It's 1150kknw.com.
1150kknw.com. And if you're listening online, of course, you can always catch us on 1150 AM or FM 98.9.
Nine HD channel 3.
I didn't want to say it wrong. So, yeah, because that actually reaches a little further, I think, than the AM, right?
It does, yeah. And, you know, those HD radios are getting a lot more affordable these days. So I highly recommend if you see one, maybe pick one up because it opens up a whole new radio, a whole new world of radio listening.
There we go. There we go. And I have a special request for listeners today before I bring on our next guest. We're going to talk about the B word rule book. But I have a special request because I'm doing a segment on shingles. It seems to be...
Re-roofing the house?
You know, shingles as in body rash and pain.
Oh,
and
okay. The disease shingles.
It's from the virus from chickenpox. So anybody who's had chickenpox is eligible. You're eligible to get shingles. As I found out. Yeah, really. I did not have I had a very small explosion of these, whatever you want to call them, these blisters. I only had like 5 or 6 of them, but some people have it, you know, half the way around their body. And it does only affect half of the body, one side or the other, the left or the right side. But I'm talking with a couple of experts on this. But what I'd really like to get is the human point of view. So if you are listening today and you've had shingles, you know how painful it is. I'd like to have a quick chat with you by email or by phone just to find out, where it affected you, how it came on, how long you had it. Did you have long-lasting repercussions? Because for some people, that pain doesn't seem to go away. I was lucky mine only lasted about 6 months, but it was like I wanted to shave my head and cut my hair off because mine was in my hairline. And and I did not have a bad outbreak of it. This was several years ago now. But so I'd just like to get some human perspective. So if you've had shingles or you have a partner who's had shingles and would like to share some information with me so that we can, tell a better story on shingles and what it's really like, then please email me at info@conversationslive.net, info@conversationslive.net, or you can call at 800 number. It will probably go into voicemail, but it's totally confidential. And that's 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. And if you leave contact information, I'll get back to you. All right, we're going to take another quick break. And then when we come back, we will be talking about this new book called 13 Rules for the New Age Professional Woman. I've been called the B word, Now What Do I Do? And it's written by Dr. R.K. Green. And she's a specialist in marketing, has a PhD and all that good stuff. So we're going to introduce her properly in just a moment when we come back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
I hate the world today. You're so good to me, I know, but I can't change.
Antioxidants, you've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage. And eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, Good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, February 3rd, Animal World will be preempted for Husky Women's Basketball. We'll be back with a diet and nutrition show on February 10th. This time, we'll be talking all about raw food and home-cooked diets for our animal friends. New owner of the Natural Pet Pantry, Randy Astrom, will join me in the studio to give us all an education. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, there's two kinds of people in this world. Those who walk into a room and say, "Well, here I am." And those who walk into a room and say, "Ah, there you are." Leah Lowndes has devoted her life to helping people become better communicators in business, social, and romantic relationships. Join us next Monday at noon Pacific, right here on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for details and more than 200 archived podcasts.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk 1150.
I will change, and today won't mean a thing. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your help, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between. You know you wouldn't want it any other way.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And I'm laughing here because I had to ask if I could say the B word for real on air. Anyway, my next guest is Dr. Kay Green. She's the CEO and president of RKG Marketing Solutions. She's a professor, a public speaker, and she earned a doctorate of business administration in marketing and completed PhD coursework in leadership and organization change. She's also written a new book. It's called I've Been Called the B Word. Now What Do I Do? 13 Rules for the New Age Professional Woman. Dr. Kay Green, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vicki, for having me.
Very pleased to have you. And we're going to call you Dr. Kay, just so people know who we're talking to. I had to ask her if we could actually say bitch on air, because I couldn't remember. It's been a while. But this book is not about that. So tell us what it is about.
It's really funny because I hear this all the time about the title. Now, in the traditional sense, I think we all know what that B word stands for. And so I took it from the context of the fact that many women in business today have been really branded that B word, that traditional B word, due to their level of success overall. And so in the context of this book, it really focuses on the diversity that exists with women today. It's not about being that traditional B word. It's really the exact opposite. So it's about diversity and leadership and empowerment of women today. And so just for the record, we include so many other B words in the book, but they pretty much define positive attributes.
Right. And there are some beautiful B words. You know, breathtaking is one of my favorite. Bodacious is another of my favorites.
I love those words. I love them. So, and you would be surprised how many B words we actually came up with.
Yeah, I probably would. So we're going to talk a little today about four simple steps to self-actualization and some of the material that you include in the book. Because I think, you know, when we look at hierarchical structure, so many of us are used to Abraham Maslow's hierarchical, you know, self-actualization triangle. But you have a different take on this, and you have four simple steps. How did you come up with this?
Well, I was a huge, like, fan and student of just really reading Abraham Maslow's information and his research and things of that nature. And when I started to write the book and really think about my background and looking at the others' backgrounds and just really analyzing everything, I thought it was really, I wanted to simplify it almost in a sense so that everyone could really understand what this whole process of self-actualization was. And so I came up with a list of about four simple steps that people could actually follow that made sense to them.
Right. And step number one is stop measuring yourself against others. And let me ask you this before you get into that. Do women tend to measure themselves more or less than men?
You would be surprised. Women typically measure themselves against other women in terms of beauty standards and things of that nature. But men are a lot more, they measure themselves quite a bit more than women a lot of the time. And so with this particular rule, it applies to everyone because we have a tendency, for whatever reason, as individuals today, and this is collectively, and it doesn't matter your background or your demographic information, we have a tendency to measure ourselves based on other people. And we measure ourselves against, you know, people that we consider to be in our same arena or what have you. And for whatever reason, it almost makes us feel as if we're doing somehow better than them or more educated or we have more financial stability, then we tend to measure ourselves as better. And it's vice versa. If we feel like we haven't achieved the level of success we shouldn't have in comparison to that person, then we measure ourselves as not as successful. And I just find that very disturbing.
Right.
But it's a matter of fact, especially in the U.S. today.
Now, as a professor, you obviously work with a lot of younger people.
Oh, of course.
I'm sure you have older students, too, but majority of younger people. But
yes.
In your work as a consultant, I'm assuming you deal with all ages. So do you see a difference in the way that younger women measure themselves versus older women?
Well, today, in today's society, I think we've become extremely hyper-competitive. And when I say hyper-competitive, you know, competition is always healthy, of course. But in today's society, we've become extremely hyper-competitive. So the younger women of today is, you know, they want to fast track everything. It's almost microwavable in a sense. And so I notice that and I tell them, I say, hey, you know, Rome wasn't built in one day. And you definitely have to understand that everything that we do is going to take steps and it's going to take time to implement. So there's no way that you can realistically go from 0 to 100 in a matter of days. You know,
right.
It really takes time to really build and really gradually build that reputation or that brand that you need to have. But if you put the time and the effort and everything into it, then you will get there.
Right, right. So, okay, so step number one, stop measuring ourselves against others. As of now, step two, learn to accept yourself holistically. Talk to us about what you mean by that.
Well, here's the thing. We become so dissatisfied at times with who we are and what we've accomplished. I can't tell you how many times that I've listened to people just seeking advice or just wanting to tell their stories, and they talk about what they have not done or what they've not accomplished. And oftentimes, you know, when we look in the mirror, it increases our negativity that we think about ourselves, you know. And you have to understand that as individuals, we cannot fall into that trap. And in order for us to self-actualize, you have to accept yourself holistically. And when I say that, we're talking about your strengths and your weaknesses. You have to embrace it all. And you can't downplay your weaknesses or exaggerate your strengths. You really have to look at who you are and be able to accept it if you're going to make progress.
Right.
You have to be honest with yourself, more so than anything.
And you talk about that in the book a lot. You have to be honest. And you say if your strategies aren't working at some point, it's probably because you need to reassess those strengths and weaknesses.
Oh, of course. You have, and I can't tell you again, it's experience and research and things of that nature that I've witnessed people who have, inflated things and who have not been very honest. And typically, it definitely comes out. The more realistic mm-hmm. you are with yourself, the more honest and authentic you are, the more you will likely be successful. And I tell people that over and over again. People feed off of authenticity. They
Absolutely.
Really do.
Absolutely. So step number three, understand that you are in control. Sometimes it feels we're not.
Oh, my gosh. Well, here's the thing. There's always going to be those external things that really just serve to distract us at times, you know. But the interesting thing about it, when you think about self-actualization and you know who you are and you're confident in what you're doing, be it career or personal or what have you, then those external factors don't seem to completely take over, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And so, again, it goes back to knowing who you are and always being able to adapt and adapt very quickly. And so, again, the self-actualized are the people who do not lie to themselves about their identities or their strengths or their weaknesses, and so they have a clearer picture of the adjustments that need to be made in order to render those external things irrelevant. And so, again, it goes back to understanding the power of you in terms of looking at your outlook absolute in reality.
Right.
And so if you're realistic, if you're honest and, again, authentic, then there's nothing that you can't achieve, and those external factors are not going to affect you in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this. What do you say to people when they say, oh, I'm going to fake it till I make it?
Here's the thing. What's the point in that? The key to this whole thing about branding and this whole thing about creating your own image or starting your business or whatever you're doing is to be true to who you are and what strengths and what strengths you actually have as an individual. It doesn't make sense to project yourself as something that you're not, because in case you have a consumer, a customer, a follower, or what have you, people who actually believe what you're doing and you can't perform, you ultimately will be exposed.
Right, right.
And that's going to be an issue. And so it's definitely important, because people stop believing in you, actually.
Right.
And that's the worst thing that can happen when you're not coming across realistic or authentic. People actually stop believing in you.
Yeah, credibility is a key success factor, I think.
Oh, of course.
Number four in Dr. K's four simple steps to self-actualization is don't stop growing. And let me tell you, when I am at a point where I feel frustrated or bored or anxious or, you know, angsty, it is nearly always because I've outgrown where I'm at and I need to move on. I have to get to that realization. So talk to us a little bit about what you mean by don't stop growing.
Well, here's the thing about life. The interesting thing, and this is what I've found out, every time I've ever reached a milestone, it's always something else that I plan to do. I set my goals, I set my milestones, I set my objectives, and I say, okay, within this amount of time, I would like to achieve this, or this is what I would like to do, because it helps me to keep focused, and it keeps me with a clear mission, clear vision, all of the above, and I have something that I'm working towards, and I love things that I can work towards. Now, most people who actually have something that they're working towards and they're trying to achieve, it has a better balance for them. And so with that, people who are really self-actualized or on the path to that, they understand that the journey is never over. And so, again, when we're talking about self-actualization, we're talking about being self-aware and understanding that there's no such thing as a finished product. There's no such thing as simply perfection. There's no such thing as an end game.
Right.
So to really be self-actualized, you have to understand that you never stop growing as a person, and life is just a continual learning process. So really take advantage of everything that's presented to you.
Right. And I kind of go by the philosophy, you're either learning and growing or you're slowly dying.
Oh, I can agree. I can't tell you just how important I think it is to really learn as much as you can.
Yeah.
About
yeah.
any subject that you're interested in.
Yes, absolutely. So those are the four simple steps to self-actualization. One of the things that we're often told is know your competition, go study your competition. You say render the competition irrelevant. What do you mean by that?
Well, here's the thing. Whenever we're starting in business, and definitely I'm not saying that you need not know who and what your competition is and what the industry is doing, of course. But the key thing is about this whole thing about self-actualization and branding and understanding how to really market yourself and your business is really understanding that differentiation is really key. Knowing how to make yourself different. How do you stand out from the crowd? What is it about you that's so authentic that your competition is really irrelevant?
Yeah, I see that as just don't fall in doing the same as everybody else is doing.
Oh, definitely.
Because so
definitely.
Many, you know,
and that's
I,
the thing that you want to do. You never want to be just like the competition. You never want to be like that next person. What is it about your brand that makes you different?
Yeah, makes you unique, makes you, nobody's irreplaceable, but makes you a little harder to replace.
That's right. You want to put that definite spin on yourself to make you very different from the next person so that when your consumer or your follower or what have you is looking around and they're looking at the competition, it's not even a factor.
Right, right. So your new book, I've Been Called the B Word, Now What Do I Do? It's also called the B-Word Rule Book, 13 Rules for the New Age Professional Woman. Do you have a favorite rule in this book?
Oh, definitely. My favorite rule is understanding the power of you. Sell your brand. That's my absolute favorite.
Dr. K, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought we'd lost you. I had a clicking on the phone there. Okay, so say that again. Sell yourself, sell your brand.
Yeah. Well, it's actually chapter 4 of the book. And it's understanding the power of you. And the reason, and let me just explain a bit about it. If we think about it, everything in today's society is essentially about branding. And so for me, from a personal perspective, my brand is the power of me. And your brand as well, Vicky, is the power of you on paper, in person, on the airwaves, and on screen. So it's really all about developing your brand. But the key to it is that it has to be from the heart and it has to be very authentic. And so for me, my brand is me and I am my brand. And that's why I absolutely love this chapter because it goes into these steps that I've identified as well that talk about how to build your brand.
Right. It's a good book, an interesting book, and you're taking a very contemporary look at, you know, what's going on today, because we need to deal with what's relevant today. Have you had a particular challenge in your life that you found hard to overcome as a female entrepreneur?
Oh, yes, of course. It's always about getting out there in the market and really taking that first step into entrepreneurship for me has been the most difficult. Now, I've always been the type of person that I think that anything is possible. So I'm just, that's my personality. But I think taking that first step from coming out of my comfort zone of the traditional 9-to-5 or, you know, 9-to-6 career and really taking that leap into entrepreneurship, that first step was definitely the hardest for me. Just getting out of that, the traditionalism and just the comfort of having, you know, the career and all the above. It was very difficult to make that decision. But when I made it, I never looked back. And when I took the first step, I could take the next step and so on.
Right. It's just being brave enough to take that first step sometimes. A final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
Oh, definitely. My final thought, and this is always it, understanding your value. I think that in today's society, you have to know what your value is. Now, be it for your organization or be it for your own personal brand, you have to understand that there's only one you. And that you has value and it has power, but it's only if you know what that personal value is and what your power is and really what do you bring to the table that no one else can.
Awesome. And your website, very quickly.
Oh, definitely. It's www.ivebeencalledthebword.com.
I've Been Called the B-Word.com, and you can find out more about Dr. Kay Green there. Her book is called I've Been Called the B-Word, Now What Do I Do? 13 Rules for the New Age Professional Woman. Dr. Kay Green, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank
Appreciate
you
it.
For having me, Vicky.
Appreciate it. You can reach me if you have comments or feedback on today's show. I love that both of our guests today said anything is possible. I've always believed anything is possible, and I believe the same. So go ahead and send your comments and feedback on today's show if you have any to me at info@conversationslive.net or call our 800 number, which is 800-495-7617. And also just a quick reminder, I'm doing a segment on shingles. I'm looking for listeners who have actually had shingles, just to get a little bit of feedback from you about what it was like, how long you had it, how it came on. Did you take medication? Have you had the vaccination? And any long-lasting results from it, because I know some people suffer indefinitely from it. So again, you can reach me there at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617, or info@conversationslive.net. See you next week. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.